you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. We'll continue close to where we left off yesterday. In fact, I'll backtrack just a couple minutes to set the context as Pastor Jason Schiffo is delivering a message using Genesis chapter 22 as his text, emphasizing how this is the first time recorded in the scriptures that the word love is used. And we'll learn how Abraham sees his obedience as an act of worship, and that obedience is also the evidence of our faith. Now, tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, will join me in the studio, and we'll give a little recap update about our spiritual pilgrimage to the Holy Land as a group of 56 of us traveled the lands, the highways, and the byways, and enjoyed the biblical teaching on location where these events took place, along with the great fellowship, prayer and worship time, communion in the garden tomb, and a couple special humanitarian mission projects that we participated in. So we'll pick up where Pastor Jason Schiffo, the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, is talking about Abraham, helping us to see the goodness of God. And because God is good, he will always provide, and that God's timing is not always on our schedule or according to the ways that we would plan something out. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
And what God is doing is he's asking Abraham to act against his common sense, to act against his natural affections, to act against his hope that he has placed in his son, the son of promise. Got to think every day Abraham got up and said, "That's my son, the son of promise." And now it's the son who will be offered as a burnt offering. And I want you to note that Abraham's told to do it with his own hands. He's told to do it himself. Not something he'll simply be a spectator of, but something he will participate in. With his son, his only son, the son whom he loves. And if we're astounded by God's command to Abraham, then we need to, friends, be even more astounded by his obedience. Because after 3 days' journey, and let me tell you what, 3 days is a lot of time to think about this, isn't it? Come on, a little crowd participation. 3 days is a lot of time to think about why you shouldn't do something, isn't it? Yeah. And so Abraham has a lot of time to think as he's going, like, maybe if I just do this, I don't have to do this, and maybe... It's a lot of time to argue yourselves out of obedience. In fact, many of us, myself included, need far less time to argue myself out of being obedient. And instead, Abraham looked up and he saw in the distance the place where he was to sacrifice Isaac. And he said to his two servants that were with him, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they both went together. I want you to see something in this verse that I find absolutely fascinating. It says, "I and the boy will go over there and worship." Abraham sees obedience as worship. There's no music here. There's no sermon. There's nothing that seems to us to feel like worship at all. Because we, friends, don't see obedience as worship oftentimes. But we should. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me," the way this is Jesus speaking, if anybody's fuzzy, "if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey." Being obedient means putting your faith and your hope and your love for God in action. Obedience is worship, which is why disobedience, the lack of worship, the lack of reverence for God is what leads to the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Friends, reading your Bible is important. Praying is important. And those things work to prepare your mind and heart to build your faith, to practice what Jesus Christ preached. To put those things into action. Your obedience. If you just read the Bible and don't do what the Bible says, I'm not quite sure why you're reading the Bible. Just let that one hang for a second. Obedience is the evidence of our faith. You believe it enough to do it. And Abraham did. And what amazes me in this whole thing is the sincerity of Abraham. He's convinced that offering Isaac as a burnt offering, that they were going to return together. In fact, it says here, doesn't it say, I and the boy will go over there and then we'll come back to you again soon. Abraham believes without a doubt they're going to come back again together. He trusts God that much. I am challenged by this story in my trust of God. He tells his servants, we will come again. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, says this. By faith, listen, there's those words again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And then it says this in Hebrews. He considered that God was able, that God was good, even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Isn't it interesting that Abraham believes in the power of the resurrection before there was anything in history to suggest it? In this way, he perhaps sees a foreshadowing of Christ's day. In fact, in John chapter 8 and verse 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it and was what? Glad. Jesus' words are important, and I invoke them to you for a reason. Because Genesis trains us for the gospel. Genesis trains us for the gospel. The birth of a miraculous baby in Genesis 21. The first proclamation of love in Genesis 22 as the father takes the son to sacrifice. And a sacrifice of a miraculous son who what? Carries the wood upon himself. Genesis Rabbah, which is a pre-Christian commentary, says that Isaac, with the wood on his back, was like a condemned man carrying his own cross. Genesis 22 goes on in verse 7 to say this, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. The son Isaac, he sees the fire, he sees the knife, and he says, but where is the lamb? Listen, in this moment, friends, if this is not a story about God's goodness, this is horrifying. Can you feel it? If this is not about the goodness of God, this is horrifying. This is the kind of stuff we would read about in the paper and just, oh, I can't believe it. And Abraham responds, God will provide for himself, stating that Abraham in this moment has absolute trust in God. He knows that God will be God and God is good. And Abraham can't tell Isaac what's going to happen because he's not sure. He doesn't know. All he knows is who God is. And maybe you don't know today how things are going to work out tomorrow, but you do know who God is and how God is. And isn't that enough? What Abraham does know is this, that the offering will come from God and be for God. That he will provide the very thing that he asks for. God calls us, friends, to be holy, but he provided the means for us to become holy by sending his son, Jesus Christ. The important thing to note, friends, is that there will be a lamb when the lamb is needed. That's what Abraham says. John Calvin says, this example is for our imitation. In such dire straits, the only remedy is to leave the event to God in order that he may open a way for us where there appears to be no way. Trust God is what Calvin is saying. In the midst of all of it, where you don't know how it's going to go, can you understand that the God of the universe, the God who created all things, is working all things out for those who love him, according to his will and his purposes. And when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. If you were to hear this story in Israel, the name for this story is the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. And it's taken from this very moment in the story. Now, one thing I want us to be clear about is that Abraham couldn't have offered Isaac without Isaac's consent and cooperation, could he? Isaac is a much younger man, strong, young, pistol, got a little energy. And Isaac, as the bearer of the wood, was the stronger of the two, which means that he was quicker or faster, which for me says that Isaac could have run away. But I believe that Isaac decided to obey his father, whatever the cost, because he carried with him his father's faith. The faith of the father was alive in the son. And that's important because as we enter into this part of the story right here, when they came to the place where God told them and they built the altar and they laid the wood and he bound the son and he put him on the altar on top of the wood, what kind of obedience is called for here? Total. What degree of faith is called for here? Total. What is God asking for in this moment? Everything. Everything. And then Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The angel speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham, acknowledging that his obedience has been watched and seen. If you don't think God sees your obedience, go to this chapter because God sees. And he acknowledges Abraham's obedience. And Abraham says, Here I am. I'm doing the very thing you told me to do. You're seeing and I'm doing. And in the midst of all that, the angel says, I know you fear God. You believe who He is. I've said this many times this morning in our time together, that if this is just a story, then it is a terrifying and it is a horrible story. Immanuel Kant says that this is the horrifying kind of story that people who are addicted to horrifying stories tell one another. And if it's just a story, then we friends are to be pitied. And I want to add, if it's just a story, then we're not saved. Goes on to say, And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thickets by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Once again, Abraham lifts his eyes to heaven. Never was there a more joyous, I believe, an eager kind of sacrifice as the flames consumed the ram. And Abraham and Isaac offered this sacrifice up to God, declaring that all that we have and all that we are, you're our everything. For your glory, God. And because of that, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I think Runyon and Chisholm had it best when they wrote the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, sometimes even greater than my own faith. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God is faithful. God is good. God comes once again and he provides the sacrifice that he asks for. The writer of Hebrews explains the action by saying this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, God swore by himself, on himself, an oath. From beginning to end in this story, God does it all. Here in Genesis 22, later at the temple, and through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, if you read the Jewish commentaries on Genesis 22, on the very chapter that we've read here, they have a quandary. They don't know what to do with this story. If you're in the land and you talk to Jews, they don't know what to do with this story. And friends, if all we know is the Old Testament, we don't know what to do with this story either. We don't know how to understand why this horrifying tale is the first mention of love in the Bible. But friends, what we know is that if God names a provision, He will provide it in every way. Genesis chapter 15 and 6 says, "And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness." God brought back the son of promise, Isaac, from death, and God brought back his son, Jesus Christ, from death, friends. That is why we are saved. We're saved because it did happen. God did provide for himself a lamb. The one who loved the Son, God the Father, did sacrifice him. And Isaac, the son of promise, never suffered, but Jesus Christ, the promised Son, did suffer. Genesis 22 says, "Take your son, your only son." And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son." See, the question of this passage still rings out today. Where is the Lamb? That's the question the world's asking. Where is the Lamb? And God has answered. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb. And it only begins when you say, when you answer that call, "Here I am. Here I am." Because I believe great is your faithfulness. Great are you, Lord, greater than all things I know, that you provide in every season, every provision that is needed because you gave us Jesus. If ever you doubt God's giving power, simply look to Jesus. God gave everything that you might have something, and that something is called salvation, found in Him alone. Where's the Lamb? If you don't know, I would suggest you read this, because it tells you where the Lamb is. His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as you declared first and foremost in your word, this, you declared love, the love of a father and a son, that it was a foreshadowing picture of the love that you would give as you gave your son, your only son. And Father, through us knowing Him, through us coming to Him and declaring Him as Lord God, Savior and King, that we would be saved. And Father, I pray that for us in the room who declare your Son our Savior, that the evidence of that belief would be found in our obedience. Our absolute willingness to worship every single day by doing what you say. Father, by loving our enemies, by loving our brothers as ourselves. Father, by forgiving in ways where forgiveness feels so difficult. By exercising mercy, long-suffering. By being a light and a beacon of hope in a crooked and depraved generation. Father, help us to be obedient, not for the sake of simply obeying, but for the sakes of our hearts as we worship. We thank you that you've given us a difficult story to show us the more difficult thing, and that is just how good you are. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said,
amen and amen. That was Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet. I've divided his message as preached this past Sunday, May 5th, into yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends, and the framework of his teaching was out of Genesis chapter 22. Both yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends are archived at greatnewsradio.org if you missed a portion or want to hear it again or email it off to a friend. Some powerful reminders. Have you ever thought about obedience being an act of worship? That obedience is, in fact, the evidence of our faith. That Genesis trains us for the gospel. That in those early chapters of Genesis, God was pointing forward to the Redeemer. the Lord Jesus Christ. God will provide. God is good. God's timing is not ours, nor His ways our ways. And that, thank you, He's provided that Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll close out with Great is Thy Faithfulness, sung by Selah, as I hope yesterday and today's program keeps you mindful that God speaks love and shows love, and He'll always make provision for you, oftentimes in unexpected ways. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to have to really think about seeing my obedience as an act of worship. How about you? Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.